today as we continue our series, Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad. We've been talking about how Jesus came to break the bad cycles in our life. And I believe very much that we are not called to live stuck. Have you ever felt like you're stuck? No matter how much you try to get into four-wheel drive and then get yourself pulled out, it seems like you always find yourself stuck back in the same mud hole. Ever been there? So like year from year, you look back and say, Pastor, I'm just stuck, and I can't seem to get out of this place I've been stuck in. But today, this message is for you because I believe today that God is calling us to get out of our rut, to get out, stuck out of where we're at. Today, I want to talk to you about something I've never preached before here, ever, at Destiny. I've never preached a whole sermon. I maybe have highlighted it in a point, but I've never taken a whole summer sermon and talking about this. And I want to talk about breaking bad attitudes. Ooh, yeah. Breaking bad attitudes. How many know this is going to be good? This is going to be really good today. We're going to talk about, and I know this isn't for you. This is probably for the church down the road. But I know that if we're honest with each other and say that we, all of us at times can suffer with bad attitudes, right? All of us can catch ourselves in a bad funk where we're just kind of, you know, we have a bad attitude. And I believe today that God is calling us as Christians to elevate ourselves above that, for us to raise our attitudes. And if you have a bad attitude, I would tell you this, you can find yourself stuck. I can probably tell you that if you've been stuck over and over and over again for a long period of time, there's probably something in your attitude we can trace back and see where you're probably suffering with some bad attitudes in your life. Because bad attitudes will keep you stuck. Let's go right to our text that we've used several times during this series, which is Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2 says, do not conform to the pattern. Everybody say conform. That word conform translates don't model after. Of course, the pattern of, we don't model after. So we as Christians know that we are not to model or pattern ourselves after what the world says is the way we live. I don't model my pattern or model my marriage after what the world says. I say it's what God says. I don't model my morals after what the world says is okay. I have to look at what God's word says is okay. I'm not to conform myself to the model or pattern after what the world says, but as a Christian, it says I'm to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transform is the same word that translates to metamorphosis. It's the word where we see the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. How many ever feel like a caterpillar just kind of inching along in life, trying not to get squished? And sometimes you just want to go into a cocoon and hide. But it's in those dark places, if we'll allow ourselves to be transformed, that we can turn and spread our wings and fly. The word metamorphosis, which is equals the word transformed here, actually means to have a radical change. So this is what we're talking about. So at salvation, my soul is radically changed, right? At salvation, my soul, which was once, I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once blind, now I see. I was once headed to hell, now I'm headed to heaven. I receive a radical transformation at salvation. My soul is changed, it's redeemed, just like that. At my decision to be a Christ follower, to confess Him as Lord of my life, forgive me my sins, I am radically changed right away. My soul was radically changed. My mind! There's where the problem's at. Because Scripture says that my mind, I'm still trying to live out this Christian walk with this my mind that's really not set yet on the things of God. And so it's my mind that has got to be transformed. And the way this translates is my mind has got to have a radical change. This is the only way for us to walk in the fullness of what God has for us for our life is when we allow our mind to be radically changed and begin to be transformed and to the renewing of what God is calling you and I to be. And you'll never get there if you have a bad attitude. Matter of fact, I can tell you, if you are suffering today with being stuck, you probably have some issues with bad attitudes in your life. And so we got to change our attitude. One of the things I see, so many Christians I've met over the years, I've been doing this now over 20 years, I've been in ministry, and I grew up around ministry and in ministers' homes, and I grew up around this thing. And I can tell you, one of the things I hear so often from people who think they're mature is, Pastor, we've reached a place of maturity in God. I'm ready to move on to the more mature things of God. You can just tell her to talk, and you know what I'm talking about? You ever met people like that? They talk to you in King James. It's kind of like, you know. Barely I say to thee, Pastor. Anyway, I want to move on to the mature things of God. And I'm like, we can't move on to the mature things of God if your attitude stinks. Because if I remember right, the scripture, it says that we can have a bad attitude, and we can sound like the angels. We can speak in tongues. We can profess to be this great spiritual giants. But if our attitude stinks, it's all for nothing. We've got to look at our attitude. Our attitude's got to change. If you want to change, your attitude's got to change. And the scripture is very clear about how our attitude should line up to what God's calling us to be. Very clear. Matter of fact, our attitude reflects Christ, doesn't it? Our attitude reflects Christ. Look at this statement I made. Our attitude is an outward reflection of our inward emotions. Our attitude is an outward reflection of our inward emotions. So if you're struggling with things on the inside, you're going to be able to tell it by your attitude. What do you mean, Pastor? What I'm saying is that if you're struggling with strife, if you're struggling with bitterness, if you're struggling with being angry, unforgiveness, if you're struggling with being unteachable, if you're struggling with pride, if you're struggling with always thinking, when am I going to get mine? These things show up in your attitude. Even though you think they're just showing up in your heart, really they show up in your attitude. And just the reverse is true as well. If you allow the peace of God to rule your mind, and you've got a joy that says, you know what? This joy the world didn't give me, and the world can't take it away. You know what I'm talking about? I've got a joy and excitement about my relationship with Jesus Christ that has changed me. No matter what my darkest hour may be, I know that God's in control of my life, and to lose is the gain, and to win is okay. Whatever happens, I'm okay because God has got my life in His hands, and I'm going to have a better attitude because I was once lost, but now I'm found. This is a great story, a great testimony. And when my attitude changes, people know it. When my heart changes, people know it, because my attitude will reflect it. And so we have got to look and say, how is my attitude? My wife sometimes will tell me, Gene, what's going on? I'm like, nothing. What's wrong with you? There ain't nothing wrong with me. Oh, really? Did you just hear yourself? And then I think, all right, I want to give her the answer she's really, you know, what does she really want me to say? And then I try to answer her and tell her what she thinks is wrong. And she's like, no, that ain't it. Because your attitude still isn't the same. And she finally pushes enough where she's like, all right, tell me what's really going on. I'm like, okay. We get to the heart of the issue. Because why does she know this? Number one, she's a woman, and she kind of knows this. But number two, my attitude reflects what's going on in my heart. It constantly, my attitude, your attitude reflects what's really going on in your emotions, what's really going on in your heart. Your attitude will always show that on the outside. Have you ever noticed that certain businesses have attitudes? What do you feel when you go, what do you think about Chick-fil-A? What's the first thing you think about when you think of Chick-fil-A? Come on, man. You think, first of all, some of you got to think, right? Now, Pastor, I want some Chick-fil-A. That's heavenly chicken right there. Hallelujah. Right there. We're going, give me some of those golden nuggets right now. But when I'm at Chick-fil-A, I love their attitude. I mean, I go there to eat, and I love their customer service. I love their friendly faces. I love the way they try to get you in and out in a timely manner. And they got the double drive-through lane going on. And, man, they just happy, and they're doing everything they can to serve. You leave there, I want to be better. I like, man, I want to do better. And then I've been around other businesses that you walk in and you feel like, they don't even want me here. They don't realize that I got to feed 5 kids. That I could be a gold mine for them if they would just treat me right. You ever tried to feed 5 kids? Isn't it tough? But because their attitude is bad, I don't want to come back there. You know, I'm a generous tipper. And if I have a waitress or a waiter who's got a bad attitude, I'm just going to do the bare minimum, what I need to do. But if someone's got a good attitude, man, I'm going to bless them. Because that's the way I am. I like to do that. But people don't know that at first, and they just kind of come in with a bad attitude. Our attitude affects how many churches can have attitudes. uh-oh, now he's getting where we live, right? Churches can have attitudes. I love the fact, let me brag on you. I love the fact that many times when I talk to our first-time guests, they said, Pastor, I love this church. Every time I walk in, people have been so friendly to me. They come up and shake my hand. They introduce themselves. Or they just make me feel so warm and welcoming. I love that. And I've had people who have told me that I've visited several churches in town when nobody even has acknowledged I was there. I had people tell me I went to one church for 6 months and not a single person came up ever and shook my hand. I've had people come up and tell me that they would go to the church for the first time, be sitting down, and somebody would come up in the middle of the service and ask them to move because they were sitting in their chair. You remember what I told you a while back about that, right? You don't remember? Well, let me just refresh your mind. If you ever walk up to a guest and say, you're in my seat, I will kick you in your blessed assurance. This is on you right now, okay? How many think that's a good model for us to live by? There you go. Okay. What I'm saying is this. Attitudes reflect who? Your attitude reflects me, and ultimately our attitudes reflect Christ, right? I love the fact that we don't have to wear it on our shirt, but, you know, I love the fact that you guys are seen as a friendly church. Attitudes make a difference. Attitudes really make a difference in life. When I'm struggling with something on the inside, 99% of the time, it reflects in my attitude. I love this story because, you know, the disciples suffered with attitude problems. And I love the story about the Samaritans here in Luke 9:51. Jesus is preparing. Scripture says he's preparing to go through Calvary. Of course, he's getting ready to head through Calvary and the cross and be descended to heaven. And so he tells the disciples, hey, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face up to go to Jerusalem. He knew it was time for him to go to Jerusalem, head to head toward the cross. And he sent the messengers before him, before his face. Of course, his disciples, that's who he's talking about. And they went and they entered the village of the Samaritans. Now, I want you to see what's going on here. At this time, the Jews and the Samaritans were at battle with each other. They didn't like each other because the Samaritans were a breakoff of the Jewish culture, and they were trying to form their own sector here of the Jewish community, and they want to do things the way that the traditional Jews had done it. And so there's this big war going on, kind of like Carthus and Carl Junction. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of just coming together and just teasing you guys. Come on now. But what I'm saying is this. You know what I'm talking about? They kind of had this rival going on, and they just had this chip on their shoulder about each other. They didn't really like each other. And look what it says here. It says that when they went to the Samaritans to prepare for him, but they did not receive Christ because his face was set to journey to Jerusalem. What happened was they were like, hey, can we fix something for Jesus here? Can we prepare a little rest stop for Jesus here? And they rejected him because they knew he was headed into Jerusalem and wasn't staying with them. So the Samaritans were like, no, if he ain't staying here, he's going to Jerusalem. Then, you know, we ain't going to do anything for him. Look at his disciples. Then his disciples, James and John, saw this, and they said to the Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Talk about attitude. I mean, I don't like them, and I got an attitude about it, and you're going to see it right here. Let's just call down fire, God. Take care of these guys. Just as Elijah did. Notice how they make it spiritual, you know. We're kind of the same way. We get a bad attitude, then we make it spiritual somehow. But what did Jesus do? Jesus turned, rebuked them, and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. What Jesus is saying, you don't know what kind of spirit you're carrying. Your attitude stinks. It's a bad spirit, and you're carrying it. You don't. I wonder how many times that the Father looks at us and says, you guys don't even know what kind of attitude you're carrying at work tomorrow. You don't even understand what kind of attitude you're carrying at your school tomorrow. It stinks. You don't even realize the Spirit is following you there. You want me to bless you, but because of your attitude, you're carrying a spirit that is causing me not to be able to bless you. Our attitude makes a big difference in our life. Look what Proverbs 27:19 says. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. Our life reflects the heart. Our attitude reflects the heart, right? Our attitude is outwardly what's going on. My attitude reflects what's going on in the heart inside of me. So the question is, do I approach life with a worldly attitude? Am I modeling what the world's telling me to carry? Am I patterning myself out what the world says I should have an attitude about? Or am I allowing the Holy Spirit through God's Word to transform my attitude, my mind? And is it showing? Is my attitude being conformed by the world or transformed by God's word and spirit? Is my attitude being conformed by the world or being transformed by God's word and spirit? Our attitude either draws people to us or pushes them away. Let me say again. Our attitude either draws people to us or pushes them away. We'll talk about more of that, about that in just a few minutes. I love this statement here. Write this down. Our attitude is the reflection of our past. I can tell where you've been by your attitude, right? We reflect in our attitude, the reflection of our past, but it also is the predictor of our future. I've had a bad past, so I got a bad attitude. Well, you're going to have a bad future. I may have had a bad past, but I'm changing my attitude so that I can have a better future. That's what should happen. But see, my attitude is a predictor of where I'm going. If I have a bad attitude, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to crash and burn. If I got a good attitude, I can only start to take steps to go up. It reflects who God is in my life. It reflects what's going on the inside. Look at this. Our attitude. Not our aptitude. See, there's a lot of people in this room with great aptitude. But not everybody has great attitude. Because it's our attitude, not our aptitude, that will determine our success in life. I've met a lot of people with great aptitude, a lot of talents in their life, but they had their attitude stunk and they never got anywhere in life. Why? Because their attitude stunk. But I've seen people with great attitudes, with not that much talent, but they had great attitudes, get elevated, get promoted, get used of God. And why? Because their attitude was in the right spot. And God blessed that. So if our attitudes really determine our future, if our attitudes really have a big deal as a Christian, then let's learn about it. Three things I want to give you about your attitude today. Number one, our attitude is our choice. Our attitude is our choice. Let me say again, our attitude is our choice. I got a bad attitude because of what they did to me. You may not be able to control what they did to you, but you can control your attitude today. Your attitude, my attitude, is our choice. I love this story. Maybe you've heard me tell it before about the two boys who were, they were doing a study on these two little boys, and they picked one little boy who was known to have a great attitude, and they picked another little boy who was known to have a bad attitude, and they put them in these rooms to kind of study him. So doctors put the good kid who had always had a good attitude, put him in a room full of old, dried, horse manure, cow chips. And they put the kid who had a bad attitude, they put him in a room full of all the toys any little boy would have wanted for his age. And they left him alone for about 30 minutes, and they came back to study to see how they were doing. And the little boy with a bad attitude was in the room with everything, and he was like crying and stomping his feet. Oh, this doesn't work, and I wanted this game, not this game, and I wanted this and that, and I had nobody to play with. And he's just crying around and throwing tantrums, and nothing's working for him. And they're kind of amazed. We put everything in there, little boy would want, and he's already got a bad attitude, didn't change his attitude. And they went and looked at the little boy who had a good attitude. He's in the room. He's in there skipping around. He's whistling. He's grabbing those cow patties, dry patties, and chunking them across the room. And they walked in. Well, why are you so happy? He goes, man, with all this dry manure, there must be a pony around here somewhere. Your attitude affects your life. Let me say again, your attitude affects your life, not your circumstances. Your attitude will affect your life. And my attitude is my choice. Who or what is influencing your attitude? Let me say again, who or what is influencing your attitude? The problem is this, is a lot of us struggle with this scripture right here, 1 Corinthians 15:33. You've heard me read it before. It's really one of our life messages here, life verses. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts what? Good character. Let's rephrase this now. Bad company, bad attitudes corrupt good attitudes. Your attitude is your choice, and who you're around affects you. You can choose to have a good attitude no matter what. Number two, our attitudes have consequences. Your attitude, my attitude, they have consequences. Hebrews 12:7 says it like this: as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined by his father? Let me ask you this. Do you reward and discipline your children according to their attitude? Based on their attitude. Do you reward or discipline your children based on their attitude? Yes, we do, don't we? Any parent who has any kind of parental training knows that you reward and discipline your children according to their attitude. So does God. God rewards and he disciplines us according to our attitude. Look what Hebrews 12:11 says. It talks about us going through a time of discipline. It says, no discipline is enjoyable. Amen. Where's my kids? Say amen. Amen. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Sometimes it's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living. Let's reword that. There will be a peaceful harvest of right attitudes for those who are trained in this way. See, discipline comes from the Father. And if we have a bad attitude, he's not going to let us get by with it as Christians. Just like I don't let my kids get by with having a bad attitude. If my child receives correction and discipline from me with a good attitude, like, Dad, you know, you're right, I was wrong, and I needed to do better. And I know they're taking that correction, and they're taking it even though they don't like it, but they take it and respect what I'm trying to teach them. You know what I do? I'm always quick to be like, you know what? I know I told you I was going to punish you here, but I'm going to lessen this. I think we'll just cut this since I see that you really understand what I was trying to get across to you. I'm going to cut this punishment in half, or I'm going to reward you out of nowhere. We're quick to do that when we see our children really take to heart and respect what we're trying to teach them, and they respond to correct. Now, if I try to teach them something and I'm trying to punish them and they do this, you always pick on me and you never get on to anybody else and you always, right? And you roll their eyes, oh, you're so old, you don't even know what you're talking about, Dad. And rolling their eyes and they're stomping their feet and huffing and puffing. How many know that the discipline gets a little tougher? All right, I did tell you was going to lose your phone. Now you're going to lose your iPad too. Give me that iPad. Oh, you don't like that? Okay. Now, yeah, okay. Now give me your PS4. You don't like that? Okay. Now you're going to walk to school the rest of the year. No, I'm just... That's my response when their attitude gets worse, right? But when their attitude gets better, then they get blessed. When the attitude gets worse, then they get disciplined. Are you following this now? How much does the Father want to bless you and I? He wants to bless you, but when our attitude stinks, he can't do that as a loving Father. What is he teaching us? But when we come to the Father, my attitude has really been bad this week. I need your help. I want to have a better attitude. I want to reflect you better in my life. And my attitude gets corrected, I'm opening up. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at some of the things that happen in our life with attitudes. I wrote down 5 things about bad attitudes. I want to give it. There's a lot more, but I think it's kind of highlights it. You'll get the drift of it. When we have a bad attitude, number one, it reflects God poorly. When we have a bad attitude, it reflects God poorly. People are looking at you. Would you come to my church? God loves you. You need to be a Christian. You need to get your life right with God. You know, we're trying to help people out, trying to witness to them. Oh, you need to come experience what I've experienced and look at you and go, but man, your attitude stinks. Why would I want to serve your God if your attitude stinks that bad? So when I have a bad attitude, number one, you're making God look bad and you make the rest of us look bad. That's why I'm upset, because when your attitude stinks, you're making me look bad too. And most importantly, you're making God look bad. This is why I say this all the time. If you had a bad attitude, don't wear a Christian t-shirt. Some of my worst encounters have come with people who had Christian t-shirts on. And that just made it worse for me. Like, of all people, to be rude with a bad attitude, you with a Christian t-shirt. And I've asked before, can you take that shirt off and turn it inside out? Because you are reflecting God very badly with your attitude. Maybe my attitude wasn't great, but you know. I didn't have a Christian t-shirt on, so I can say it. All right. Our bad attitudes reflect God poorly in our life. Bad attitudes bring on God's discipline in my life. We just talked about it. Bad attitudes bring God's discipline in my life. Bad attitudes push people away from me. You ever wonder why you can't get friends? Ever wonder why I can't keep friends? Maybe my attitude stinks. It's getting awful quiet in here. I'm just giving you some life lessons today that can change your life. You ever wonder why I struggle with keeping friendships? Why do I struggle with getting people close to me? Because my attitude pushes people away. You've heard me, if you've been here very long before, you've heard me tell the story. There was a time in my life when my wife and I decided we were pushing away people out of our life with bad attitudes. They were negative and always had a bad attitude, and our life changed overnight the day we decided to disconnect ourselves from those people. Some people were good friends, and we still love them to this day. But we quit hanging out with them all the time because their attitude stunk. And it was reflecting on me, and it was causing me to have a bad attitude as well. It pushes people away. Bad attitude will push people away from you. Bad attitudes causes me to lose my job or be demoted. If you're struggling with keeping a job, you say, I can't keep a job for nothing, Pastor. Maybe you should stop and look in the mirror and say, how is my attitude? Why is it that I always am the one to get let go instead of promoted? Could it be my attitude is affecting the team? I've had the privilege of leading some great teams in ministry and also in the secular world, in the business world. I've led teams of people. And I can tell you this, that the one thing that I will not have on my team is somebody with a bad attitude. I'd rather have somebody with a good attitude, with half the aptitude, with half the ability, but has a good attitude. I'll take them all day over somebody with great ability with bad attitude. You can't be on my team with a bad attitude. Why? Because it doesn't work. I don't care if I was playing sports or on a team or where I was at or business or church or ministry. Bad attitudes. Can't have them. Cannot have them. And if you have a bad attitude, you're struggling with bad attitude, you're going to struggle keeping a job. You're going to struggle. Listen, teenagers, listen to me. This is a great tool to listen today. Bad attitudes will get you demoted and fired. They won't even get you hired. Bad attitudes. Also, bad attitudes open the door to my mind for Satan to be at work in my life. When I get up in the morning with a bad attitude, I'm opening the door for Satan to have rule in my life. But a good attitude, look at this, a good attitude reflects godly character. When I have a good attitude, people look at you different and say, I want what they got. Man, they show up to work, and I know they've had a struggle this week, and I know they're going through some bad times, some hard times. I know they lost their house in a tornado, and I know this happened over here, and I know that they've been struggling, and I know their kid's been sick, and I know they've had a hard time in their marriage, but look at them. They come with a good attitude anyway. There's something about them. Why are you always happy? Because God's changed my heart. And I can tell you, there's been a time in my life when I didn't have a good attitude. There's been a time in my life when my attitude really stunk. But God has changed my life. He's done a 180 in my life. He's changed me from the man I used to be. And He's set me forth now with a man on fire with a purpose to show His love, proclaim His message. And I want people to look at me and say, that man's got a good attitude, and he reflects Christ in a good way. When you have a good attitude, you reflect Christ in a positive way. When I have a good attitude, it opens the door for blessing of God in my life, like I just talked about. We open the door for blessings to flow in my life with my good attitude. It draws people to me. Just the opposite. When I have a good attitude, people want to be my friend. People want to hang around me. Have you ever met people with good attitudes? Well, you want to be around those people, don't you? You go to those people with good attitudes, everybody just runs to them right away. They walk into a room and they're like people magnets. Plus, people like to feel good about themselves. And when you're around people with good attitudes, you can't help but feel good about yourself. It draws people to you. Good attitudes cause me to be hired and promoted. I can walk into a room and have a good attitude, and maybe I don't have the highest skill level for that position. If I had the best attitude for that company, Many times you will get hired over the person who's more qualified because your attitude is better. I've talked to a lot of people who have hired and fired, and they will tell you this. Those who have got experience will tell you, I'll hire somebody with a good attitude, who's pliable and workable, who's going to bring to the team a good positive energy over somebody with a negative attitude at any time. Hey, I'm telling you now, this is how, I wonder why I never get promoted. What do? You bring a positive attitude, reflecting Christ in a positive way, and you bring a positive attitude to your church, to your workplace, to your school, and see if God doesn't use that to bless you and elevate you. When I have a good attitude, it opens the door for my mind to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. When I have a good attitude, it opens my mind, my door for my mind to be transformed. I'm to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. How am I transformed? First and foremost, I gotta have a good attitude. Open it up. Listen, nothing my children can do will ever stop me from loving them. Let me say it again. Nothing my children could ever do would ever stop me from loving them. But, there's always a but, right? But there's their attitude will decide how I will bless them. God loves you unconditional. He will never stop his love for you. He loves you unconditional. But his ability to bless me has to do with my ability on my attitude. It opens the door or closes the door. Every plane has a thing called the attitude indicator. Attitude indicator. Let's show a picture of that, guys. You've seen these before, maybe. If you've ever visited inside the cockpit of the plane, and you see the dark spot is the low range, and of course the high range is in the blue. And if you want to go even, if you want to just go straight as an arrow, you keep that right in the center, on that center line. And if that plane's on that center line of that attitude indicator, that plane will go straight as an arrow. If you want to climb, you just kind of pick the nose of that plane where it gets up in the upper part, and that plane will steadily climb up and up. If you want to go down, you dip the nose below that, and that plane will begin to go down, down, down. And if you don't change it, you'll crash. And I thought it was kind of awesome that it's called an attitude indicator. Because really, that's really what happens in our life. If our attitude comes down, if our attitude is pointed down, if our attitude's really low, man, we're going to crash and we're going to burn. And we'll continue to crash and burn and head down. But if I want to rise above, I got to get above everybody else. Let's say everybody else is right there in the middle. I got to point my attitude a little higher than everybody else. And when I do that, see if I don't begin to soar past all the complaining. See if I don't soar past all the backbiting. See if I don't soar past all the people who are talking negative about other people. And I rise all above that. I'm picking my attitude up higher than everybody else, and I'm going to go above. And I'm going to grow closer to God. And I'm going to allow God to elevate me as I point my attitude up. I'm going to quit pointing my attitude down and crashing and burning. Get your attitude up. May it reflect who God is in your life. James 1, 2 and 4 says it like this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Listen, I want my attitude to be mature and complete. I want my attitude to say he's one of perseverance. So I count it a joy when I go through hard times. That's why my attitude has to be right when I'm going through hard times. And the last thing here, our attitude has influence. Our attitude has influence. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in what? All circumstances. This is how my attitude should be. As a Christian, my attitude should be when I learn to give thanks in all things. Not just when things are going well. Not just when things are going good. You see, I've met too many people that say, Pastor, when my circumstances change, then my attitude will change. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. That makes about as much sense as I talk to people who say, well, Pastor, when I start making more money, I'll start tithing. If I can make $1,000, I'd give $100 to God. No, you wouldn't. You won't give God $10 out of the $100 you got now. Why are you going to give God $100 when you get $1,000? It ain't going to happen. You start with a little and let God bless you and you work your way up. You be faithful in the small and then things change around for you. The same thing here. I don't wait for my circumstances to change. I let my attitude change first and then my circumstances will get better. That's what happens. In all things, I learn to give thanks. In all things, I learn to give thanks. God, I don't like this, but you're going to make it where I can turn it around for good in my life. God, I don't like what I'm going through, but you're teaching me to trust you more through this tough time in my life. God, I don't like what I'm facing now at work, but you're going to make me stronger, and I'm going to come out better through this. I don't know what my next step is, but through it, I'm going to have a good attitude. I'm going to give thanks. I love what Habakkuk says in 3:17 and 18. Though the cherry trees don't blossom and the strawberries don't ripen, though the apples are worm-eaten and the wheat fields are stunted, though the sheep pens are sheepless and the cattle barns are empty, can it get any grayer here? What's he say? I'm singing joyful praise to God. I love this. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God. This is what we're supposed to do. Even when things are not going our way, when it seems like everywhere we turn, things are not happening the way we want it to happen, he says, I stay steadfast in knowing that my joy remains in God. Thank you, Father. I'm going to show a video here as we close. It's a video of a man by the name of Nick Wojcik. And many of you maybe have seen this video before. I've showed it before when it first came out. I know many of you haven't seen it before, and some of you have. Every time I see it, I'm challenged. Pastor Rick Warren was doing a live class on the OWN Network with Oprah. And on that live class, he had a special guest that he brought with him, Nick. And Nick was born without any arms and legs. And he talks about his attitude and how he approached his life and how it changed his life. Let's go ahead and show that, guys.
Nick's in our audience tonight. Say hello to Nick. We're standing up for Nick. Now, this is what's so unbelievable. As you've heard, people complain about the spots on their face and people complain about not having a boyfriend and not being able to have the mates of their life. What happened to you that you were able to take your chemistry, being born with no arms and no legs, take your connections, your relationships, your life circumstances, your state of consciousness, and then make the conscious choice that you were going to take all of that, which the rest of the world looks at, you know, undeniably as a pretty bad hand, and that you were going to turn it into something, you were going to be exalted by it. What happened to you that you were able to do that?
Oprah, I know that you love to think out of the box and have things outside of the box on your show. Yeah. And I know that you love illustration. So if I may illustrate in about 180 seconds, can I do something a little crazy, but it'll be powerful? Is that
right
cool?
Ahead.
You got a camera behind me, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you. Come. This step right here, is there enough light here? Okay. The chemistry. I was born without arms and legs. The chemistry I could not change in my life. I know that God didn't give me this pain. But what the enemy tried to use for bad, he turned into good. Man, the connections. I want to tell Porsche. Look, I'm a guy, I love cars, okay? And I love Porsches more than Ferraris, okay? And I want everyone to know that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. And until you can actually understand that we are all wonderfully and fearfully made from God, I want you to know that you will always be trapped and chained and you will be stopped. But when you have the incredible power of faith in action, nothing holds you back. And you're beautiful just the way that you are. No worries. For me, I felt the connection. Yeah. For me, in my life, I'm thinking, man, I'm not going to get married. I can't even hold my wife's hand. What connection am I going to have? But you know what? All things come together for the good for those who love Him. Then, This is a little bit high. I'm going to break my arm, man. This is pretty crazy. All right.
I'm going to break my arm.
Circumstances. Being born without arms and legs, man, it's all about choice. You asked me what it was. I had parents who were my heroes. They always said, you can either be angry for what you don't have or be thankful for what you do have. Yeah. Do your best and God will do the rest. And consciousness, because I gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ,
hallelujah,
and the renewing of my mind,
hallelujah,
wow, I knew that I could be unstoppable.
Amazing. 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 Hello. 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 Love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Are you going to let your attitude keep you back? Is your attitude going to be one, as the musicians come this morning, is your attitude going to be one that says, you know what, I'm mad at the world for what I don't have. I'm mad at the world for what happened to me. I'm going to let my attitude reflect it every day. Am I going to say, God, I'm going to learn in all things to give thanks. God, I'm going to learn to reflect you in a way that would make you proud as my Father. God, I'm going to learn to keep my attitude positive. I want to bring that attitude. I can open the door of the Holy Spirit to transform my mind through my attitude. That's where it's all at. I can't teach you anything else. We can't go further. If our attitudes stink, we'll never get there. When we change our attitudes, reflect who God is in our life, I'm telling you, you'll start to rise above. You'll start to rise above, and you'll see things change that were on you, chain you down. You'll see it begin to fall off your life. Quit complaining about the things you don't have. Let your attitude reflect the goodness of what God's done in your life. And say, God, I'm going to change my attitude. How many today say, Pastor, just let's be honest. How many say, I'm ready for God to change my attitude. I want to learn. Yeah, see, several of us. Thank you for being honest. I'm going to invite you to stand today. As you stand today, we're going to close with a song that simply says, in my life, be lifted high. That we called upon him and he came to our rescue. See, that alone should change my attitude. That I called upon the Lord in my time of dark despair, and he came to my rescue. He came to my rescue. And I'm asking you, in my life, be lifted high. How about in my attitude, be lifted high. In my words, be lifted high. In my actions, be lifted high. In my life, may you be lifted high. Come on, let's sing it together. For you today. Today, if you want God to change your attitude, I want you to just raise your hands where you're at. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person lifting their hands today, saying, Father, I want you to begin to change my attitude. God, I thank you, Lord, for, first of all, so many people in this room are not afraid to admit when we need help, me included. And Father, I thank you today, God, you are changing our attitudes. God, I pray right now that the chains of fear, but the attitudes that we have tried to attach themselves to our heart, that those things be broken in the name of Jesus. And Father, right now, I just pray for freedom from whatever thing that has caused them, whatever dark place that has caused them, whatever hurt has caused them to have bad attitudes. Father, I pray right now that as Christians, as children of the King, that we begin to raise our head. We begin to raise our attitude, and we learn to soar above that. And we will not be held captive to anything that bad attitudes bring in our life. Father, I pray freedom from those bad attitudes. We'll walk in that freedom today in the name of Jesus. Those chains that have tried to keep us back, those things will fall off us in the name of Jesus. And I pray that a good attitude, a right attitude that's pleasing to you, begin to raise itself up in my life. That when I go to work, that people look at my attitude and go, there's something different about them. When I step into my school tomorrow, that people will look at me and say, there's something different about their attitude. Father, right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit will do a work on our attitude, setting us free. We thank you. If you agree with that prayer, now I want you to put your hands together and say, God, thank you that you're setting me free in my life. I'm going to have a good attitude. How about you? I want people to pass by and go, that church has got a great attitude. Every time I go by there, those people got a great attitude. I love that. Turn around and give someone a hug or shake their hand and say, man, it was good to be with you today. God bless you. You guys have a great weekend. Be safe. God bless you.